Deciding that a podcast looking into the science fiction serials that featured in cinemas in the 1930s and beyond was long overdue, Andy and Martin set about rectifying this omission, starting with the 1936 13-part serial entitled Flash Gordon, made by Universal Pictures and based upon the cartoon strip of the same name created by Alex Raymond. They have decided to create a running commentary upon every single chapter, episode by episode, until the entire story is covered. After this, they plan upon moving onto its sequels, Flash Gordon's Trip to Mars and Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe, before turning their attention to other serials made in the same era. Hello and welcome to Space Soldiers, a commentary podcast with Andy Priestner and Martin Holmes. Flash Gordon, Chapter 4, Battling the Sea Beast.
Hello and welcome back to Space Soldiers. I'm Andy.
Ta-da. And I'm Martin. Hello.
That was a very excited ta-da.
Ah, well, you know, I'm excited. You know, I've been waiting since the last episode to see what happens next.
I know, on tenterhooks.
I mean, because you can't cheat, can you? You can't just say, oh, no, I'll just watch these while my fellow podcaster isn't here. So
no, you have to wait
wrong
for me.
Of me.
Exactly.
No, I think you've got to sort of look at it fresh, you know. So
you have. And last time we left Flash battling the fearsome Octosack, did we not?
As you do.
Yes. So I don't know who's going to win. I just don't know. Octosack or Flash. It's either way. So
well, it's 50-50 at this stage, I believe.
It really is. Yes.
Although I tend to go with whose name is on the title, but obviously in the discs I'm watching, it's not quite so clear anymore.
Well, it's not called Octosack Space Soldiers, is it?
No, indeed. Although I have been someone did point out that maybe the Space Soldiers versions are not the full-length versions. I don't know if you saw that message.
Yes, I did, and that concerns me deeply.
Although my researches haven't found... There is a full-length version online which may have been cropped to fit 2 hours or something. So certainly the ones I've been watching don't have much evidence of things being missing. So
okay.
apart from the end credits. So I'm kind of going to go with certainly this set is complete and then maybe later ones aren't.
I have got an excellent book which I recommend, The Flash Gordon Serials 1936 to 1940 by Kinnard.
Oh, you've got crib notes.
Yes, and Vitone.
No, cheating.
Well, yeah, but it's mainly synopses, if I'm honest. But right. But that's probably how I could tell whether anything was missing. Mm. Anyway,
okay.
So we are about to battle the sea beast. As ever, you can join us by watching along as well as listening, and we will be starting in 5, 4, 3. 2, 1.
Now, these tunes are causing me slight problems. I'm not quite sure about the copyright at the moment, so I may have to worry about those later.
No, we're just going to go for it. It's fine, it's fine, it's all good. They're all dead. Let's just say they're all dead. everyone's dead.
Well, they are 70-odd years old.
I think
convinced
you're fine. No, it's fine. It's good. We're going with it. So... Mm. Basil Dickey, there's a name that always jumps out at me.
Did he do all three?
I don't know.
Basil Dickey.
Yes, the names I always think of are Ford Beebe and Saul A. Goodkind. They're the ones I think of, but I don't know whether they're on this original serial. They're the ones I think of.
We don't even know how to pronounce them properly, which is also part of the problem. I find that sometimes with these name things.
Yes.
Battling the Sea Beast.
Chapter 4. Okay. Flash interrupted the marriage ceremony by hurling the great idol into the midst of the astonished wedding group, and they were astonished, and then grabbing up Dale, and with him covering his retreat, they escaped!
Da-da-da. Not the worst wedding I've been to.
As they fled, Ming precipitated them through a trap into the undersea city of the Sharkmen and spacographed Carla, King of the Sharkmen, to return the prisoners to him. Flash, trying to prevent this, fought with and defeated Carla, who retaliates by trapping Flash in a tank and... God, that was hard work. Come on, Dale, do something. It's about time you did something useful.
She's about to thump the bald man. The bald man with the headpiece.
That's Duke York Jr. to you.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. Spacograph. I'm kind of... This is basically because nobody knew what television was yet, did they?
Exactly. So let's.
Or the film industry were going, oh, we don't want to admit that television exists, so.
A spaceograph, I love it. Now, the octosac, when it's an octopus, is good because it's an octopus. But as soon as it's not an octopus, it's awful, and it's a shame. But
bit of a footage from the Olympics here. Obviously, they didn't show the Olympics on television in those days, so Dale is quite frankly shocked. Oh, he's doing his sinister foreigner thing, isn't he? He actually looks like a bit like the Hood from Thunderbirds.
He does a bit. Dale can't watch.
Or rather, maybe the Hood from Thunderbirds looks a bit like him.
I think the problem with the octosac prop is that it's all bobbly and it's not quite octopusy enough.
It was probably left over from a Tarzan film.
Oh, now is this Aura? This is whatchamacallit, Zona, she's called, played by Muriel Godspeed, and former Salt Lake City beauty queen, no less.
Oh, really? Good yes. Lord, with the Spock eyebrows and everything.
Yeah, she's great. What? We like her. We like a bit of Zona.
Now then, here we go. A swimming guard type person with a sword.
Yes, that's
just
because...
carried off, Dale, through the plastic sheeting. Back to the, I don't know, the back of the butchers. This is like an abattoir.
It is like an abattoir. It is.
Oh, so she's waking up in a strange bed. That's Dale's lot for you.
There's only one part of the octosac which keeps getting flash, isn't it? It's just one tentacle.
Yeah. It's the active tentacle.
It's the active tentacle. Oh, the shower curtain's gone across now. We're in trouble.
In 30 years, it'll be recycled for John Pertwee throttling.
And, it's Aura. Aura and Thun.
She's turned up with a jolly big gun.
Yeah.
And Thun's got his sword out.
Oh, they're not afraid to use them, either of them.
Another one in shorts. They're all in shorts, the gentlemen in shorts. Aura's doing the reactive acting now through the wound window. The wound window.
Stop that fight at once. She's
proper proactive, isn't she?
I wouldn't say no to Aura. I mean, Dale just watched and went, ah! But Aura is actually, no, get him out now. I want his body.
Yes. And Flash has now got this tentacle tied to his leg.
Yeah.
But he's obviously, you know, this is the Olympic swimming for you. You know, he's proving his worth.
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway, he's let the water out.
He's quite intense, but he stares at people a lot. I'm not sure he's the best actor.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he's just distracted by the skimpy tops, you know. I mean, I don't know how many skimpy tops you got to see in the 30s, even in Hollywood.
Well, exactly. This must have been quite shocking, the amount of flesh on display,
It's future space outfits, you see. Space outfits. In fact, they're all basically wearing crop tops, aren't they?
Now, Dale's woken up. Is she finally going to do something useful?
Oh.
She's looking
thoughtful.
There's no chance of any secret conversations or moments in this place, is there? Because it's all plastic sheeting.
It's also interesting to me... because nowadays we get so used to, how can I put it?
Bitch fight!
Used to sort of gentlemen doing their body sculpting and hair removal. That it's actually quite strange to see sort of all that chest hair in a sort of,
I know what you mean,
gentleman in a crop top.
Absolutely. Oh, she's pushed Zona over. She got the better of Zona. Oh. I was always backing Aura over Zona there.
So, Thun, you say, was ended up married to one of the Tarzan people, is that right?
Yes.
Is that somebody else?
I think so.
Because he basically at the moment has got lockdown hair and beard, hasn't he? I mean, it's kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I'm working on that look myself at the moment. But
now, we're no longer underwater there, are we? If we ever were.
The octosac is basically a dead rubber animal.
Yes. Even more.
Although it
rubbery.
Is still moving a bit. It is still moving a bit.
Yeah.
And there's lots of lovely chunky levers. I quite like these round door things. And I'm just trying to work out these things around the pressure door. Now, they must be from an actual submarine, mustn't they?
Oh, they must
have all the clips.
They're too clunky not to be. I mean, clunky in a good way, solid. I did love that moment that I missed saying when Dale said, we must rescue Flash, and Thun is like, that's what we're doing. It's like, come on, keep up.
Oh, it's the proper tune now. This is the tune I associate with.
Totally.
With Flash Gordon. That takes me right back, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're back in the mountains.
We are. This is Ming's palace, is it? And Zarkov in his little shorts. Bless
him. Oh, dear me. That's not a flattering shot, is it? It's got very, very thin legs in this episode.
In this episode.
He needs to work on that a bit.
He needs to work on
it. Back to Earth.
New York Observatory. What's happening here? Hmm? Oh, it's Dr. Gordon.
Dr. Gordon's making a second appearance.
Oh, I didn't know he came back. I'm
gentleman in suits.
Shocked and stunned.
Message from Zarkov.
He's got through to them.
The planet Mongo. He does keep doing the Mongo, the planet Mongo thing, which I always think it's like he suddenly realised what the name of it is, and he thought, no, I'm going to.
It's like when they're introducing characters in bad soaps or bad drama series, and they repeat people's names.
Oh, bit of explanation, bit of.
Mine's. Oh no, it's okay.
Yeah. I think this is just the age of the original.
Yes, that happened to you as well, and it stopped.
Oh yes.
Good.
But I do love all these dials. I just think these sort of control panels with dials just make me happy in a way. And you know it's an old electricity station, really, and they're actually telling you how many ohms are in Ohio or something. Yeah. But it's just fabulous stuff. You know? Ming's arriving in the lab.
Lovely shadow down the back of the wall as he goes down as well.
Well, this is the era. I mean, this is basically... This is Dracula, isn't it? This is the same kind of...
Yeah.
This is...
What? Yeah.
Universal, you know, this is their look. Mm. This is... They know how to shoot these things, you know. I'm always amazed that Ming is bald in this one, but does have a sort of bald... what do you call it? What do you call those caps that they have?
Bald cap?
In later...
Skull cap.
In later
skull cap.
Skull caps. Yeah.
That's it.
So it's like, I'm not shaving my head again.
But just like that shot there where he stood beside this of the glowing tubes was really nice and not necessary, but really helped.
It's very effective stuff, you know. But all these gizmos, I mean, they're all built for Frankenstein, weren't they? But they're all fabulous. That's a strange relationship Zarkov has with Ming. You know, they're kind of like an old married couple in many ways.
How do you mean? Why?
They're just very, tell me this. And this is the way they're not doing the evil thing. Ming's not doing the evil thing.
Yeah, he's just saying, oh, it's okay. You know, I'll tell you stuff later.
he's Ming exposition at the moment.
Yes, he really is. It's quite a necklace he's got on. Is that a necklace with a big lotus flower on it? Oh!
Hand
acting.
Yes. As taught by William Hartnell to Peter Purvis.
Hartnell, yes.
Hey, up! Oh, big old battle going on now. Now, on the planet
happening?
Of stock footage.
This is happening in another film entirely.
It is.
But it looks good. It
does have that air. It's like suddenly the Lord of the Rings has turned up in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. Let me just play you some footage.
And there's a big old bulb flashing between them.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost like one of those bulbs where I'm allowed to talk while this bulb's on and then you're allowed to talk when the bulb's off. It's almost like a chess clock thing conversation.
Yes.
It's kind of weird.
You're not holding the talking bulb. You cannot speak. Yes. Oh, and there's more fighting. That looks like
probably the fall of the Roman Empire or something. I don't
yes.
know. This is popular now on Mongo Netflix.
Yeah.
Torch just turned up.
I feel sorry for Torch in all that getup. He must have sweated buckets.
Yes, I'm not quite sure. There seems to be a gap between his groin parts and his leg parts, which probably doesn't work in colour. Occasionally you get a bit of extra cheek you don't expect. Anyway, meanwhile, Flash and Aura are approaching a massive wall of dials and levers.
Yeah, that is really good.
She's having a quick feel there, isn't she?
Yeah, she's like, I must just press your chest as I talk to you.
That's what the big star on the front is for.
Is press here, exactly.
Meanwhile, the undersea man, he's having a bit...
He doesn't walk. He doesn't sort of move his head, does he? He's very sort of hunched, and he just.
I can't understand why Thun hasn't just run him through.
Exactly.
Maybe that wasn't the done thing back in the 30s.
Maybe.
I do love his when Flash is fighting with the man by the wall. I do love his facial expressions when he's in big fight mode. I do think that
he's good.
He really does put.
He sells
it. All the effort and strain. He really does.
Look, Aura, you know how to pick up guns. You've done it before.
That looked like the gun she had before.
It did.
Yep. So basically we've got Flash in another fight. How many fights a day does Flash have, do you think?
Well, I think he needs at least one to keep at peak strength.
Do you think he was like that Back on Earth, though, do you think whenever he went into a bar, he ended up having a fight with every third person he met or something? Was he just
a
man with testosterone problems, you know?
Yes. Well, he'd have a reputation off set, off film, wouldn't he? You'd have to keep that going. Oh, look, he's still standing there, talking to Carla, not doing
talking
anything.
Talking to death!
No, still nothing. We're still not going to kill him.
We got Aura backing away with her big gun. We got some silhouetted fighting.
Silhouetted
Flash
strangulation.
Is doing some throttling and she's just shot the wall.
Now, was that
all the power's
a
gone.
Planned
oh,
thing?
No.
Was that a bad thing to do? I think we're not clear.
I'm not entirely sure that Aura is necessarily helping here. Basically, the wall started leaking.
Yeah.
The zappings are starting to zap. Oh, dear me. Silhouette of Flash has done some proper deading, I think, by the look of it there. And he comes... when he runs, he does run a bit strangely when he's in those shorts.
I disagree. I think he looks glorious.
It's just when he came round that corner, he had the end of... We're
not
using this take, are we?
As he runs. I like it. It's good. He kind of stops and poses a bit. It's good.
He kicked his leg out a bit there.
It works for me.
I wasn't convinced. Oh,
you're not. Okay. So he's like, Dale, what have you done, you stupid, stupid woman? This has not helped.
Dale's doing a bit. Oh, the oxygen's going again.
Because she always goes first when oxygen goes.
Yes. Yeah, I think basically the undersea city is about to... it's about to go proper Atlantis.
Yeah.
What we need is... what's his name? Nothing in the world can stop me now!
Exactly. Where is Joseph when you need him? Just kill Carla Thun, honestly. He's a bit of a pussy, is Thun, isn't he?
The telly angles they're getting of the disaster that's ensuing is kind of weird. Really.
Well, also, we're only seeing a little bit of water coming in at this point.
Although, you know, total face rub down Thun's arm there as she faints, I noticed.
Yeah, I think that was a bit suggestive. An emergency
call. Don't you think this was late night? Flash Gordon, was it too hot for prime time? Or do you have for the kids to be
watching it? I would imagine it was too hot for 1936, some of this.
The parents would be going, you've been watching that again? That horrible Flash Gordon porn?
Yeah, but they were, you know, they would have just come back from the cinema saying it was exciting. I don't think they would have read into it all the sexual innuendo that we're reading. No. Sexual.
What's the name of the king of the sea people?
Carla. Oh,
Carla. Because he's looking a bit fainty now himself.
He is, yeah.
Oh, their only hope lies with Ming. That's not a good sign.
No, if you're relying on Ming for redemption or safety...
Is he going for the round window here?
Oh, he might be.
Oh, what's this?
They've stopped watching The Lord of the Rings.
This is still the undersea palace as viewed from outside. It's always one of those things in these things where you get an angle on the thing that they're inside blowing up, but it's always kind of weird. You think, where is that actual camera?
Yeah.
Why have they got a camera that's there just for in case the city ever blows up?
Aura's very much like, why are you running that way? Just come back with me. We want to just go back and have sex in my secret quarters.
And the Aquamen with their strange...
they remind me of Iridians from The Chase in Doctor Who.
Yeah, they do a bit. Yeah. Well, it's the way, isn't it, really?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, we're getting more flood. I do feel a proper Professor Zaroff coming on. Zaroff, yeah. Zarkov. Oh, God, I'm going to get those mixed up. Oh, another fight.
More fighting, because he hasn't fought anyone for at least 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Yeah. So how is Ming going to assist? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
I'm intrigued.
You can't make him understand. Well, that's because you haven't said anything to him yet.
Exactly.
You've just turned some dials at him and made some noises at him.
And because you're a bit breathy.
This guy on the right has the air of... those Swedish films, you know, where death has...
Oh, yes, Ingmar Bergman.
He has a definite Ingmar.
Yeah, he does have an Ingmar.
Seal vibe going on.
He absolutely
Although
does.
It could just be Barossa.
Yes. Oh, it's melting. Oh.
Ooh, melty city. Oh,
why is it melting, though, when it's not being heated up? It's filling with water. I don't see how that makes it melt.
Oh, so finally someone's told Ming what's happening. And so coming to the rescue far too late.
Yeah.
Now, this will be where Zarkov whips up a thing to fix it in seconds.
One of the hairspray canisters fell off the top of the city then.
More close-ups of water.
There's water. Water is threatening.
The melty city. Something can be done. What can be done?
Oh, no. Keep running through corridors. Fight more men.
Flash seems to be hand-in-hand with Aura quite a lot, and then not, because he's suddenly let go of a hand because Dale's around.
He's thinking, this is probably not a good idea because Dale's there. Oh.
We've got the disaster end of episode stuff. Oh, no. Water coming in. Scream.
Whoa!
Someone threw lots of water at them. And that is the end of part four.
Wowzers.
The end of the disc, which has thrown me a bit.
It was all happening. All happening.
Oh, I'm exhausted.
Yes.
So, I also felt... Did you think that felt like a long episode?
I think it felt like a long episode because there was lots of running around and fighting people and exposition, but it was all inexorably heading towards the undersea kingdom being filled with water. So it was only ever going in one direction, but it took quite a long time to get there. But also there's a thing when you do a commentary that you can't hear all of the dialogue all the time, so you know,
we talked over the good bits.
Yes, yeah, so maybe
we don't have a clue what's going on.
Maybe the Ming and Zarkov conversations were you know, just brilliant dialogue and I just missed it, but let's say it was.
Yes, absolutely. This was the Shakespearean episode.
Indeed.
That will go down in history as the greatest dialogue in Flash Gordon ever. And unfortunately, you got us two idiots talking over it instead.
Yes, apologies. On that note, until next time, when we will be back for Chapter 5, The Destroying Ray. What other rays
the
are there?
The Destroying Ray!
I have been Andy.
And I've been Martin. You take care.
Bye.
Join us next time for another exciting episode of Space Soldiers, a Flash Gordon commentary podcast with Andy Priestner and Martin Holmes.